As we look at these words of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight in Luke chapter 9 and verses 23 to 27, they strike us as we live in a society where self-denial is something that nobody likes to think about. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of this. We live in a self-indulgent society. But according to the Lord Jesus Christ, self-denial is at the very heart of Christian discipleship. You cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ, but choose not to deny yourself. Self-denial is part and parcel of what it means to be a Christian disciple. And when the Lord Jesus Christ saves you by his grace, washes you from your sins by his blood, when you by faith are united to Jesus Christ, the very first lesson he begins to teach his disciples is that of self-denial. And he never ceases to teach us that all the way through life in this world. That's why Calvin said that self-denial is the sum of the Christian faith. It's hard for us to imagine that. But Calvin said you can sum up the whole Christian life in just two words. Deny yourself. Now that's very countercultural. I think it's the closest thing to psychological heresy to say to a self-indulgent age, deny yourself. And yet Jesus speaks to Christians of this call to embrace self-denial. And because we are living in such a self-indulgent age, I think we need very much to pause and give ear to what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here. Because when we look at what Jesus says in verse 23, then Jesus said to them all, we can stop just right there and say, there the Lord Jesus is speaking to all the disciples. He's not just speaking to Peter. Peter has been a representative of all the disciples when he said, you are the Christ, you're the Christ of God, you're the Son of the living God, you're the Messiah, you're the rescuer king who's come into the world. But the Lord Jesus Christ then does not direct his words only to Peter. The Lord Jesus Christ speaks to all the disciples. When he says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So that's the first thing we need to think about tonight. These words of Jesus where he says, deny self. That's the first distinct part of Jesus' message. Jesus says, if anyone's going to follow him, if anyone's going to be a Christian, if anyone's going to be a disciple, then let him or her deny him or herself. Now, what does that mean, to deny self? Well, it means to renounce anything that challenges or trumps our allegiance to the kingdom of God. We are to renounce our yearning to possess things if they trump our allegiance to the kingdom of God. We are to renounce our desire for power if it trumps our allegiance to the kingdom of God. We are to renounce the favor of people around us if it trumps loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to renounce human glory if it vies with the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to seek first the kingdom of God. And that will inevitably mean, in every society, inevitably it will mean we are to deny ourselves. Now this is a startling contrast in our day and age. If you were to look at biographies or news articles about popular figures, some great political leader or so-called celebrities in our day, you could read books, watch news articles, look at the media. When's the last time you heard anybody saying about some leading figure that this individual is noteworthy because of his or her self-denial? It's just unheard of in our day. But the Lord Jesus Christ said to be his disciple, his follower, that spiritual discipline of self-denial is essential. Denying yourself is an essential part of the Christian life. Denying yourself, which includes overcoming the persistent, demands of the body, bringing everything into submission to God and his word, so that we do not give in to sin. Galatians 5:24, those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So self-denial for the Christian means renouncing self as the center of existence. And that goes against all the natural inclinations of the human will. To recognize that Jesus is now the one new and true center. So from the moment of new birth in Jesus Christ, self-denial becomes a daily exercise for the Christian for the rest of life. With the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, you are thrust into this conflict where you deny rebellious self and yield to the Spirit of God. And it's through that self-denial then that life in Christ strengthens more and more. So denying self means looking for God first, self, not self first anymore. And often it means looking for the good of others before looking out for the good of yourself. When Ruth followed Naomi, she practiced self-denial for the sake of her mother-in-law. When Esther put her own life at risk to save her people, she demonstrated self-denial. When Mary was informed that she would give birth to the Saviour of the world, she responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." She would become pregnant, not through sexual intercourse with a man, but by the intervention of the Holy Spirit. And there were real concerns. How was she going to explain that pregnancy to Joseph, the man to whom she was engaged? But she nevertheless chose to deny self. She chose the will of God. You see, the old self looks at opposition or shame or suffering or death for the sake of Jesus Christ and says, "Oh no, I'm not going to do that." The old self loves human approval, honor, comfort. Loves those things more than Jesus. But the new self-denying self, the new life of God at work in the heart and life of a believer, says to that old self that wants to push self first, "You are not in charge anymore. I love Jesus more than human honor or approval or comfort." So if it means opposition or shame or suffering or even death for the sake of Jesus Christ, there is more gain in following Jesus than there is walking away from him. Even if there are 10,000 earthly benefits, I will forsake them because I've decided to follow Jesus. So Jesus says, deny self. Secondly, he says, take up the cross. And again, that is something that is startling to our ears today. "If anyone desires to come after me," said Jesus, "let him deny himself and take up his cross daily." Take up the cross daily. What does that mean? Well, as surely as there's no salvation apart from the exclusive work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon his cross, so there is no possession of salvation apart from you taking up your cross. Liberalism denies the uniqueness of Christ's cross. Monasticism makes a savior of our cross. Vital Christianity says in Christ's cross alone there is pardon and forgiveness and new life. But when you have a sight of the cross of Christ, so that you are joined in faith to him, you are in Christ, then you gladly shoulder your cross daily and you follow him. And you are ready to bear whatever that may mean, whatever cost may follow, whatever afflictions may come, because you're willing to take up your cross daily to follow Christ. And some afflictions may bring the scorn of the world. The scorn of the world that falls on a man or woman who, for Jesus Christ's sake, will not walk as the world walks, will not seek the world's pleasures, will not worship our society's gods. And that faithful Christian walk will be a reproach to unbelief. And sometimes that Christian walk and the reproach then that it brings is not easily forgiven. The more faithful a Christian life, the more likely it is these days that it will be belittled by others. And we don't like to be belittled. So there will be a cross, but it'll be waged in the secret place of the heart, hour after hour, day after day, to resist temptation, not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of the mind, and to seek to live the life where God's kingdom is the first and the main thing. And that's why sin and the devil never leave the Christian alone, because that constant battle and warfare will go on through this life. That cross may mean, like it was for the Lord Jesus Christ, that to be a faithful servant of the Saviour, as the world hated him, there may be times when the world hates and turns its back on the believer. So when Jesus talks about the cross, sometimes we hear this saying, people say, oh, I'm given my cross to bear. But it's not, the cross is not arthritis or poor eyesight or diabetes or COVID. It's not personal problems. It's not an unemployed husband or an unhappy marriage. Christ's cross is something that the Christian takes up, not the sufferings that are in this world that affect Christians and non-Christians alike, but the things that come, the problems, the difficulties, the afflictions, the trials that come as a result of our relationship to Jesus Christ. That's what is meant by this cross. Sufferings that would not have happened if we were not Christians. So let me give you some examples. Here's a girl raised in a Muslim home who becomes a Christian. And her life then becomes one of constant abuse and threats, even from her parents and her brothers and sisters, because she is following Christ now. How long before one of them kills her? Or again, in 2009, Alan Comfort, a former football player who became a church leader, had to resign from his church, St. Mary's Anglican Church in Great Baddow in Essex, because he had certain views about sex and marriage. He said, if you are a committed follower of Jesus and want to continue doing what the Bible says, then I believe that means sexual relationships are only appropriate in a married situation between a man and a woman. That's what he believed. That's what he taught. Those views are biblical. They're not earth-shattering. But in our culture, they resulted in him being thrown out of his pulpit. And that loss was the cross he bore as part of following Jesus Christ. Just last year, three Christians in northern India, in Uttar Pradesh, spent more than two months in jail, suffering all sorts of abuse, even from the other prisoners. Although the police found no evidence of wrongdoing, there was a complaint, but the complainant immediately withdrew his accusation. But they spent more than 2 months in jail. Every night they were threatened, they were beaten by the prisoners, and they were warned again and again that even if they were released, they would not escape. It was the cross they took up. They were suffering because of their faith in Jesus Christ. A young woman becomes a Christian and goes to church on a Sunday, but her husband mocks her faith in Jesus Christ. And he's constantly at her because she leaves him for 90 minutes on a Sunday morning. So he goes down the pub night after night with his mates. And that's the cross she bears for confessing Jesus Christ. So I'm saying the cross that Jesus refers to in this text is the trouble that comes into our lives, not the general difficulties of living life in this world, but particularly the difficulties that come as a result of following Jesus Christ. If anyone denies to come after me, said Jesus, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. So the Christian is called to take up that cross. And my cross and yours are not like that converted Muslim girl or like those Christians in India. But if you are a Christian and if you deny yourself and if you follow the Saviour, there will be times when you have to take up the cross. Take up the cross daily, said Jesus. Now that's become a very unfashionable, unpopular truth today in the church. But it's the word of Jesus. Let me remind you of famous words by A.W. Tozer on this fact. Tozer said, "All unannounced and mostly undetected, there has come a new cross into popular evangelical circles. It is like the old cross, but different. The likenesses are superficial. The differences are fundamental. The new cross does not slay the sinner. The Christian message is slanted in the direction of the current vogue in order to make it acceptable to the public." How perceptive and challenging Tozer is. The new cross, he says, does not slay the sinner. It adapts to the current vogue. Everything is made acceptable to the public. That's not what Jesus was talking about. For him, the cross spoke of death. Death to an old way of life. A new way of life centered in Christ. So for the Christian, there will be some difficulties. And there will be some difficulties which will be with the Christian from day to day until the Lord comes. And when those difficulties come, the Lord Jesus Christ says, take up the cross daily. Respond to that difficulty in the way Joseph responded to his afflictions. Joseph, in the Old Testament, ended up in prison, badly treated, all sorts of problems because of what his brothers did to him. And he said to them, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Sometimes you may experience difficulties because of someone's evil against you. And you say, "I'm willing even to take this up because God has a purpose even in this. The sin is not God's. The sin is the sin of the person who is doing wrong. But yet God has a purpose." The Christian says, "I believe that God is working all things together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. So I take up that cross. I say, Lord, you've put this into my life for a reason. And God can use it even to work out his purposes, his good purposes, to make Christ-likeness more real and apparent and more depth to it in a person's life." And it's part of what happens when you say, "I have decided to follow Jesus." Have you decided to follow Jesus? Deny self. Have you decided to follow Jesus? Daily take up the cross. And then thirdly, have you decided to follow Jesus? Follow Jesus then. And what does that mean? To follow Jesus. That's what the essence here of being a disciple is. It means you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you follow him whatever difficulties may come your way. And one of the great areas in which we must do this is in the area of forgiveness. You remember from the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They have no idea what they're doing." Now, there's no part of the Christian life that doesn't involve self-denial. Self-denial has an aspect in every part of the Christian life, but perhaps particularly in forgiveness. Forgiveness involves self-denial. When someone has wronged you, what is our tendency? What is our reaction when somebody has wronged us? We want to get them back. We want them to get their comeuppance. We want them to feel the pain that they've made us feel, only their pain is going to be worse. So then to speak of forgiveness, what does that mean? It means self-denial. It means believing that God yet has a purposes that are his, that he's working out, even in the midst of difficulties and trials and afflictions. And for all of us, there are times then when this need to forgive a husband, a wife, parents, children, a friend, someone you're estranged from. Now you've been wounded, you've been wronged. And it takes self-denial for forgiveness, a willingness to forgive. But we must hear what Jesus says. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now we live in a society where this idea of self-denial is anathema. And people seek their own satisfaction. But they do not find it. Those who seek for self-satisfaction and self-interest, those who live for self in this world, will be utterly thwarted, according to Jesus. Look what Jesus says in verse 24. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. How many people have we heard who've said something like this? My idea of God is this. My idea of Jesus is this. My idea of the Bible is this. My idea, my idea, my idea. What I think, what I'd like to believe, the way I see it. And what they're saying is they're master of their own fate. They're saying, I'm the captain of my own soul. And Jesus says, they lose their lives. Those who just live for self, they have no idea who they are. They are lost. They have no idea of the purpose of life. They've lost the knowledge of the living God. They've lost a loving relationship with God as their Father. They've lost a relationship with Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've lost the Good Shepherd. They've lost the indwelling Spirit. They've lost that only comfort in life and death. They've lost comfort in suffering, lost peace in dying. They've lost a living hope. They've lost it all because they're living for self. Me first, me second, me third, me everything. But Jesus says there are others who are not trying to save themselves. They trust entirely in the one who preached the Sermon on the Mount, the one who died for sins, the one who rose from the dead, the holy, harmless, undefiled Son of God. Jesus Christ is all their hope, all their desire, all their longing, their Lord, their Saviour, their friend. They're in Christ. They've taken Christ to be their Saviour, the one in whom they've put their trust. And Jesus is saying, you experience true life when you give your life away to him. When you deny yourself, when you take up the cross daily, when you follow him. But those who live for themselves will never find and never get the satisfaction they seek. In fact, what happens, their souls get smaller and smaller. They shrivel up. They become turned in on themselves. We've all met people who have lived like that for many years. Sometimes we meet people like that on the brink of eternity. Those who have lived just for self. It's not a pretty sight. But those who deny themselves, their souls are enlarged. They become filled with love. The love of God is shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. They care about things that are eternal. They learn how to forgive. And they experience a joy that no one can imagine. A joy that at times is unspeakable, full of glory. And all Jesus' disciples learn to say, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the prayer of self-denial. And that's what the Christian life is like, said Jesus. If you pursue your own satisfaction for yourself, you will not get it. If you pursue him and his kingdom, you will find a satisfaction greater than you can ever imagine. Jesus said to his disciples, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit the eternal life. But we are reminded in that, if you're not willing to pay that cost, then you can't follow Jesus. See what Jesus is saying then? He's saying, when you deny yourself for him, you don't lose the satisfaction that you wish you had. No, what you find is that there is an amazing satisfaction in him, and you gain satisfaction that you can't have apart from him. And that's a very important part of self-denial. What the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking of here, denying self, taking up the cross daily, following him, he's not talking about just a stiff upper lip. Jesus emphasizes it, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words of him, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Jesus is saying this like is like a vapor. It's vanishing away. And I find, you know, even Christians who have learned the virtue of self-denial, our society squeezes us and presses us into this world now, everything immediate. And we sometimes lose sight of what is stored up for the believer in glory. That there is a currency in glory that this world cannot conceive or imagine or even begin to experience or think about. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There's no temporal loss that can compare with that more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But then says Jesus, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? What's it matter if you get all the ease, all the comfort, all the popularity, beauty, prestige, success, power, money, and lose everything at the end? Destroyed or lost. So make sure, said Jesus, you know what you're investing in. In the 8th century, there was a king called King Charlemagne, who was the builder of the so-called Holy Roman Empire, which was not holy, it was not Roman, and it was not an empire, really. But about 200 years after his death, there was another emperor called Otho who wanted to see inside Charlemagne's tomb to see the way in which they'd buried this most important king. So he ordered for the tomb to be opened, and he discovered that Charlemagne had been buried sitting upright on a throne with a crown on his head, but with a copy of the Gospels on his lap. And in his burial, Charlemagne had directed that his finger would point at that very text. And his bony finger was still pointing at this text, Luke 9 and verse 25. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? The most powerful man in the whole world. And yet Charlemagne knew. What would it profit him? Gain the whole world if he himself was lost. So Jesus challenges us here. What will it gain us if we gain the whole world? If you make millions on the stock market, if you to have a business as successful as Starbucks, if you became a leader in the nation. But the cost was to lose your soul. And when Jesus is saying, as his follower, you must deny yourself, he's not saying, deny yourself, and because you deny yourself, you will be saved. That's not what Jesus is saying. We know he's not saying deny yourself and you'll be saved, because the Lord Jesus has just spoken about the necessity of the cross. The Son of Man must be killed. He must go to the cross. He must lay down his life. He must be killed and the third day rise from the dead. So he's not saying here's the way of salvation. Here's the way into heaven. Deny yourself and God will accept you. No, you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. But if you become a Christian, if God has worked in you, faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and King, God will call you then to a life of self-denial. And you live that life of self-denial because of the gospel. It's a self-denial you can only practice because of God's grace. But the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, come die with me, he's saying. Die to self. Die to that old way of life. Die to that life of rebellion against God. That life of conforming yourself to all the patterns that this world will press upon you as being the most important, but they're godless and worthless and of no eternal value. Nor live for Christ. Live for self and you live in vain. Live for Christ and you live again. And when you deny yourself, take up the cross daily and follow Jesus, you find that there is a satisfaction and a joy and peace more than anything that this world can ever imagine. So will you decide now to follow Jesus? And if you follow Jesus, it means denying self. It means taking up the cross daily. It means following him. But it's an adventure worth beginning, because it leads to an eternal weight of glory. So let's pray together. Lord, we turn to you this evening, and we thank you as we do so in the gospel, that for us the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who endured the cross of shame, taking our sin and the full weight of God's righteous anger against that sin upon himself, there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Yet in him we find such a mighty Saviour, this rescuer King. Our souls run out to him in faith. And Lord, as a result, we desire, we long after him. We want to follow him. Enable us, strengthen us, Lord, by your Spirit, to see the folly of what this world would press upon us, just live for self. Help us to deny self, take up the cross daily, and follow Jesus. And we know for some of our brothers and sisters around the world tonight, that denying of self, that taking up the cross, that following Jesus, for some in some parts of the world, can even mean fierce persecution, imprisonment, even martyrdom for some. And Lord, we still enjoy many gospel freedoms in this nation at this time. And we pray that such freedoms will be preserved for us in days to come. There are storm clouds on the horizon that are telling us that the time may come when we will face some of those pressures in our society here in the UK. But Lord, whatever it may mean, whatever is involved, as the Church of Jesus Christ is being sifted, even through this time of the COVID pandemic, there's been a sifting. But we pray, Lord, that you will teach us what it means tonight to deny self, take up the cross daily, follow Christ. He is worthy of all our praise, all our worship, all our love, all our adoration. What a mighty Saviour is Jesus Christ our Lord. We come to you in his great name. And as we desire after him, we pray you teach us then what it means to live like this, to live for him. Jesus Christ, all sufficient, beyond telling, is his worth, is his glory. And so we come to you and pray, Lord, receive us now. Help us in our weakness. Give us your mighty grace and strength, and lead us on for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, there is a hymn which talks about, I have decided to follow Jesus, and that's our closing hymn for tonight.
Turning back, no turning back.
Come to God in prayer together and let us all pray. Lord, we pray for each one in this congregation, each one listening to this message on YouTube, all who hear your word will respond in faith, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And we pray, Lord, that we may see yet days ahead when many will come in faith to Jesus Christ and confess that same confession, that they've decided to follow Christ. No turning back in their lives, though no one else may follow, though there will come difficulties and obstacles along the way, no turning back, but following Jesus from this day forward, knowing him as Lord, Saviour and King. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the abiding fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us as the people of God, and not only with us, but all God's people this night, wherever they are, all over the world, particularly in countries, Lord, where following Jesus demands a very high cost at this time. But no turning back. No, we look to Jesus Christ. To him be all the praise and glory. Receive us for Jesus' sake. Amen.